This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network, live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Welcome back down to Tee Florida. I've been waiting from the state of Virginia for a new opening for about 2 months now, but it'll get done, or we'll have our own Kerry McNally revoice all the intros, because we have a superb lineup each and every week of guests, as well as our hosts and, of course, our entertainment crew. We're brought to you each and every week by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and Sea Dogs Brewing down there on Treasure Island, and that place. We've got a show now on Mondays. It's called Big Monday. Go to the RadioSaintPete.com. Platform, and we will also Matt just reminded me, and we're waiting for commercials for our sponsors. That's what I do the reads for these days, but he's right. All of our sponsors have been superb to us, and on the Tee Florida, and then of course the Big Monday, it's $9.99 for a burger, fries, and a beer down there at Sea Dogs every Monday. And we actually, with Big Monday, the show, Oscar Garner III and Alex Reba, we just knocked it out of the park last week. There must have been 50, 60 people listening, those guys, and they're superb. I'll have to have you meet me there on a Monday.
I was going to say, I'm coming down here.
Yeah, well, this coming Monday, come on down. And then one of these times we'll have regular spend the weekend over there at Crystal Bay with his lovely bride, and he'll stay for a Monday night bash, and he can meet the owner, Fred Forsley. Anyway, a lot going on in the second hour. We're efforting Mike McCoy. He's actually in California, so I hope we get this put together. But that first hour was great. Talking to Jeremy Friedman, and then, of course, James, not to be mixed with Ian Poulter. And he 19 years. I didn't realize he'd been up there at Chi-Chi 19 years.
He still sounds young, too, especially being in the golf industry that long.
Oh, exactly. Of course, our Ferg's Clubhouse Full Swing Golf Simulators. We got a new plan here that I think is going to work out well. If you've got a charity, we have an opportunity for you. Just give us a call down here at 727-742-5957. We're actually going to help you host. You get yourself a sponsor. They come in, pay a flat fee, and then we'll provide you with the golf and get you the grub, and you can have an event down here. And I'll talk more about that with Mark Ferguson next week. I'm going to get him on the show to talk about the things that John Rieger and I are going to be rolling out as well. A couple of other things. And Michelob Ultra, they're coming on board 2024 in a big way. They're going to sign an agreement next week. So we'll have Ice Pick and Michelob Ultra as part of our 2024 team, and as we continue to expand and hopefully reach more affiliates across the state. And John Rieger?
Hey, when Mike McCoy does come on, we'll have to give him the On the Tee Florida Starters introduction. So I'm all ready. I've been studying up.
I looked at
his resume today. This guy is absolutely awesome. So you just give me the call when he gets on there and let me know how to introduce him, and we'll give him the good old On the Tee Florida welcome.
Hey, let's go back to the Zozo Championship over in Japan. Isn't that the one that when Tiger came back from his horrific auto accident, that he won it, and he was the host? Was that the Zozo?
Wow, I don't know. We'll have to do some research. We have to go to the research department and see what's going on out there. I'm really not sure if that was maybe Bill. Do you know offhand?
It was one of those limited field events.
I don't think he's won since he's come back from that accident, but he did host. I know he did host some. But
well, is there the Heroes? Is he involved in the Heroes as well?
He was, yeah, up in Congressional.
He won one of those limited fields right after he came back, and then he won the Masters that particular spring.
I think he's testing us.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I just did some quick research here on the Google, and at pgatour.com, and that's a great place for the avid golfer to go look at news stories and things like that. But he has won the Zozo Championship in the past.
Yeah, but not after his accident.
Oh.
That is absolutely correct.
Complete left field.
No, no. Well, I know you're in left field, but not over the fence.
Well, we, as I said, Mike McCoy, we've been putting this together. He is in California, so hopefully with the 3-hour time differential, we're completely accurate, and as Matt efforts him. In the meantime, give us a little snapshot of some of his highlights in his career.
Oh, absolutely. Here, let's go ahead and talk about probably one of the great golfers that you'll ever have a chance to talk to out there. And so, you know, he's played in 65 USGA championships. That's incredible. Just to play in one is a special deal. Like, go play in the US Amateur or something like that. You know, I mean, that was a special deal for me. All right. So, you know, when you play in 65 of them, 20 US Amateurs, 21 US Mid Amateurs, 8 US Senior Opens. And at the age of 50, he actually was the second oldest winner of the U.S. Mid-Amateur, which put him on the 2015 Walker Cup team. All right, and now we know recent history. In 2023, he was the captain of the victorious team that played at St. Andrews, Scotland. But also, he's a 4-time winner of the Crump Cup at Pine Valley. Now, I don't know what that is, but I can tell you that must be a big deal. Even to play golf at Pine Valley is a big deal. And he won the George C. Coleman Invitational Seminole Golf Club, where he's a member. So, and he added the Florida Senior Amateur Championship. He's just a plethora, just a machine of titles. You know, I mean, it's just a unbelievable talent, unbelievable resume, and really looking forward to talking to him.
I was going to say he surpasses a lot of resumes I've ever seen.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, we talk about Iowa and we kid about Iowa sometimes, but, you know, since he's won 5 Iowa amateurs, 6 Iowa mid amateurs, and 1 senior amateur Iowa title, he's Iowa's best known golfer, not named Zach Johnson.
Yeah, I saw that. And in fact, I did just get a confirmation that Zach will be joining us the week before Thanksgiving. And I'm looking forward to that. I just tried to call Mike and not get him either. Maybe he's in some of that L.A. traffic, or he's still on the links. But yeah, Zach confirmed. I'm going to warn you, fellas, and I'm going to mute Gribben's mic.
Oh, boy.
If we're hammering corn while he's on, I'm done with you guys.
Oh, wow. All right.
Well, okay, yeah. I'll tell you what. Well, we promise we'll sign a pledge. It's all going to be unicorns and rainbows for that interview with Zach Johnson.
No, he'd be firing right back at us. He lives in South, is it Georgia or South Carolina? I think he lives in Georgia. There's another destination up north where all the...
He was in Lake Mary, but I think he moved up to Sea Island.
Yeah, that's
yeah, Sea Island, Georgia, up there. Yeah, it's in fact, it's funny because every year at the North Florida PGA, we actually chaperone the Arnold Palmer Invitational Pro Am, and all that means is we put a PGA club professional in every group, and we walk along with every Pro Am group. And Arnold Palmer actually started this with us, and what it was is just to help get people around the golf course. It used to take 7.5 hours these people to play golf out there. And so he had put a club pro in every group, and our job was to walk around. We'd help all the caddies. The caddies are all volunteers from neighbors and kids and whatever, because they don't have that many caddies at Bay Hill. And you get to walk with the tour pro and get to know them a little bit and talk to them, and you help all the amateur caddies out there, and you get the amateurs rolling, and it turned a 7.5-hour round into a 5-hour round, which meant that the Arnold Palmer Hospital would rake in more millions of dollars for the hospital, for the Arnold Palmer Women and Children's Hospital. And so I had the good pleasure of being able to do that one particular year with Zach Johnson. I still have the golf ball he signed in the picture, and I was really amazed at him because he looks like such a little guy on the, you know, when you watch him on TV and stuff like that. But, he's pretty stout out there. He hits the ball a long way, and he can really, really, really play.
You know, I love you, Pro, but you're an exactly a towering specimen yourself. You're right along the lines of me, but he was the smallest. When he was at Drake University, he weighed $1.28, he says. He was number five on the Drake University Bulldog team. It wasn't like they were a national power playing Oklahoma State and the big boys from Texas and Florida when he was playing. And he was that committed and driven. And he was out at Mark Egli, who we've had on many times, driving range daily, just hammering balls. And he had made that commitment, you know, when he was up there at Elmwood Country Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, that he wanted to play on the tour.
And that's what.
Well, no, that's just true grit. That's true grit. I mean, when I was in college, our coach used to go out every day to the golf course and make us practice hitting our rear end with both hands. I mean, that was the extent of what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, but bravo for him. I wonder what it's been like for him since he returned. And I don't want to belabor that when we get him on the air. I wonder what it's been like, you know, as far as some of the fans are just absolutely outrageous. I wonder if he's taken a lot of flack from what took place.
Well, Bill, what do you think his mindset is right now? Because, you know, it's just like if you had to go captain a team of a bunch of tour players, you know, it's like herding cats. I mean, so I don't know. What do you think? If you win, you're the champ, and if you lose, you're the chump. What do you think he's going through mentally right now?
Well, I'm sure he's you know, losing a little sleep here and there and analyzing left and right. He should have done this, could have done that. It's the nature of the beast of the game of golf. You may have to make decisions on the fly, and some decisions work out, some don't. And this year just seemed like there were no decisions made that worked out. I mean, between the pairings or the team itself or the timing of this or everything about the event turned south on us quickly.
And well, you know, I think the best way to look at it is that regardless of the press and everybody out there with the pressure on them, I think the players, even though they didn't win, I think they truly respect Zach. And I think that, you know, this shall pass and they'll have another captain down the road. But I think he still has gathered the respect of everybody involved and everybody will move on from it. I think it's a little different. Maybe with some other captains out there. I know that it was really tough for Tom Watson when he got shellacked. And even though he's the great Hall of Famer and one of golf's greats, you know, a lot of these players came off of that Ryder Cup not respecting him, which I thought was a travesty. But I think all in all, I think everybody's got Zach's back, and they realize that, hey, it didn't work out. We'll move on, and we'll go get him next time.
Yeah, Zach gains respect of everybody he's around, so it doesn't matter whether it's the like Brooks Koepka's, Scottie Scheffler, whatever. Everybody loves Zach.
Well, I just got a note from Mike McCoy, and we're lining him up right now. And I tell you one thing, was Zach Johnson, and I do not want to hear one thing out of you guys' mouths. When I have him on in November, he and I are going to break down Iowa football, the punter and the defense. And because
I was going to say Carolina football could be in the top. You know,
I don't care about your Tar Heels, Zach.
Hey, Mike, you're in charge of the mute button, so you know you're in charge, baby.
Exactly, but Zach is a zealous Hawkeye fan, and he displays his colors around his friends boldly. This gentleman, we've been talking about him. We've had Gene Elliott on, Mark Egli. You guys think I'm crazy? We'll have Zach on next, but we have royalty coming out of the state of Iowa and the world of golf. And Mike McCoy is kind enough to join us right now. He's out in California. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. I'm sorry I was a little late. I apologize.
No worries. You're a busy man. And we've got John Rager and Bill Butner, my pros. Back in the day, I had two guys you know well. I had Horty and Judd Gibb, and occasionally Mark Egli and Bobby Vanscoy. And two of these guys down here, actually, they bought into the two pros and a hack, and I'm rolling again down in Florida there, Mike.
Well, that sounds terrific.
Hey, Mike Rickard, you ready for the On the Tee Florida welcome here?
Absolutely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, playing in 65 USJ championships, including 20 U.S. amateurs, 21 U.S. mid-amateurs, and 8 U.S. senior opens. In 2013, at age of 50, became the second oldest winner of the U.S. mid-amateur. Playing on the 2015 Walker Cup and the victorious captain of the 2023 Walker Cup at St. Andrews. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mike McCoy.
Hey!
Well, Mike, that's John Rager, and he's done that many times at Champions events down here. And certainly worthy of an introduction like that. I got a couple of questions. You know, I had you on, I think, once or twice up north, and then I had Nate on a couple of times. Did you go to Dowling?
I did. I did go to Dowling.
I thought so, and I'm a Sioux City Healing guy. We had some intense rivalries back in the day, and my daughter ended up going to Dowling. Those are two for you guys.
Thank you.
Guys from North Carolina and Florida. Those are two powerhouses in the great state of Iowa Catholic schools.
Okay, great. Thank you.
But then he became a Wichita Shocker, right?
That's correct. Yeah, went to Wichita State.
There you go.
And from that experience, did you start? Did you ever have, and we've talked to Gene about this, did you ever have aspirations that you wanted to play on the Pro Tour, or you just loved your amateur success?
It was a lot different. You know, back in 85, they didn't have any, Corn Ferry tours or anywhere to go. It was either you got your tour card or you had to go to Asia. And, so it really didn't appeal to me. And, I've been very happy with my amateur career.
I will wholeheartedly agree with you. Back in the 80s, when there was no purses to play for, no second tours.
What did you play, 15 years doing that?
I've knocked my head against the wall a few times. But, again, it was great memories. It wasn't a financial thing. It was a love for the game.
Sure.
Hey, so, Mike, 2023 Walker Cup. At the old course of St. Andrews, I've had the good fortune of playing over there in a couple tournaments, and I can tell you that, there isn't a better place to just go visit if you're an avid golfer. Plus, you captain the winning Walker Cup team at St. Andrews. Give us a little perspective about what that was like.
Well, getting to captain a team is kind of the honor of an amateur's lifetime. And so, it's a great, great privilege to get a captain, and I spent about a year on the road watching these kids play, and got to know them, got to know their coaches and their families, and we went over there with a really strong team, and it was a tough competition. The GB and I boys brought a lot of heart, and they played well, and we were fortunate to get the win.
So did you guys enjoy the town at all? I mean, I know there's not much to the town, but did they still have the old Tom Morris Golf Shop to the right of 18th hole?
That's the town hasn't changed much. We had a little fun after it was over on Sunday night, so we took the trophy and made a few pit stops around town at a couple of the nice pubs, and there were a lot of American supporters in there, so we had a little fun. But yeah, we did get out a little bit and had dinner in town, and I think they got a feel for it. And it's a great place. Great place, the home of golf. You can't find a better spot.
What was the weather like there, as far as the conditions to play? Because I play that golf course sometimes when there's not a wisp of wind, and it was fairly warm. And then the next day it's 45 degrees and raining hard, and it's the toughest golf course I've ever played. What was the conditions like over there?
Well, it was warm. We had nice nice weather, and it got a little breezy the last day, but we were hoping for a little wind, and but it was good conditions. I wouldn't say it was benign. It was, we did have some wind, but it was sunny, and it was plenty warm enough. So we were very fortunate. We caught some good weather.
One of the things about that golf course is on that 17th hole, you have to hit it over the hotel on the road hole.
Right.
Is that intimidating? I mean, I played there in the tournament, and all I can think about, please don't hit a worm burner into the side of that barn over there. But is that just commonplace now? Everybody just lost it right over there, and no big deal.
Yeah, I mean those guys were just they're hitting it 350 or 60 yards. They're just taking it right over the corner, and no problem.
So you had a you had over a year to get to know the players, pick your players comparable to what Zach went through with the professional players. So you traveled the entire country. I know you probably were out at Cherry Hills. I happened to be out there with some family seeing my son, and I think Gene Elliott told me that you had been in Denver. Did you get out for that event
and were watching the kids? I spent a number of days out there enjoyed it, and you know, it was a critical week for a couple of our guys. They had to have a good week to make the team, and they did. So I was happy to be there to watch them do it.
That was a great track, isn't it?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I can't beat it.
Rich in tradition. Speaking of tradition, let's go back to your start. And I always have fun with these guys because, as I said, I'm the hack. But looking at your bio, I didn't know that you started in the cart barn over there at Wakanda. And I was a cart jockey here at 60 years old for my friend across from me at the St. Pete Country Club, something to do in free golf.
Is this why you brought
Mike,
him on?
Mike McCoy and I have something in common.
Wow.
He was 9 years old. I was only 51 years older than him, but I finally got that on my resume.
But did he make it to the Hall of Fame in the cart barn?
I don't know if he's on the Wakanda, which is a store. Well, that's where they have the Champions event every year, the principal. Yeah. And it's a spectacular track. I think he probably progressed from the Kart Jockey Hall of Fame over there.
Okay.
To one of the best player ever played there. And now you're an Echo Valley guy, right?
Yeah, we have a home out there, so that's where we call home.
Have you gotten to play in that Principal Charity Classic event at Wakanda?
I've played in the Pro-Am. They don't allow amateurs to play in the Champions Tour event. So, no, I haven't played. But I've gone out there and watched it. And, you know, they put on a good show every year.
It's amazing how the fans have embraced it, and I love the fact that they took it to Wakanda, which, you know, rich in tradition. You know, we're talking about Cherry Hills. Well, Wakanda is the Cherry Hills of Iowa, in my opinion. Yours?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's I've had a lot of good memories from Wakanda, and it was fun to grow up and be around there.
Now, we've had your great friend Gene Elliott on, I think, 3 or 4 times now, and he'll be down here for the rest of the year pretty soon. Talk about that special relationship, because we've gotten to know him. These guys have gotten to know him, and you two have battled each other for decades and are closest of friends. Talk a little bit about how enjoyable your relationship has been as you're both in your 60s and still two of the finest senior golfers in the world.
Well, we're great friends, and we pull for each other. We've partnered. We won a number of 4-ball championships together, and then we've gone toe to toe, many, many times over the years. Whether it's in Iowa golf or mid amateur golf or senior golf, it just seems like we always bump into each other. But Gene's a wonderful player, and he really. He was a good player when he was 16, and he's still a good player today, and very competitive, and just a fine man, and great friend. And we've traveled a lot of miles together and had a lot of fun.
That's what golf's all about, right there.
Hey, we were talking about Zach Johnson and his role, and of course, I was very blessed during that period. I was working with Drake University very closely, and I'd see Zach over there at Mark Egli's Des Moines driving range, just pounding balls. That story had to amaze all you guys that were kind of the leaders in the world of golf in the state of Iowa, to see his success, and then you two. To get to the point, the pinnacle of being captain for the PGA and the Walker Cup, you guys have probably had plenty of conversation about his path, your path, and then with the task at hand here in 2023 for the two of you.
Yeah, we did. We've had a few conversations. I bumped into him at Sea Island, and we had a nice visit. And then, as we got closer to our Walker Cup match, Zach spent some time, and we talked a lot about St. Andrews. He's obviously had some success there, so he gave me his thoughts and you know, I was able to share some of that with the team. And so, you know, Zach's a wonderful guy, and, you know, what a great story for Iowa golf. We all pull for Zach, and he's been a great ambassador for Iowa golf.
Well, let me.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you here. One of the challenges we get as we all get older is to be relevant to junior golfers, to give advice to junior golfers about the game of golf and if they want to be competitive in the game of golf and things like that. What would you tell a junior golfer today? You know, it's different than, you know, back in our day, but yeah, in fact, I saw on your bio there that you actually were a caddy at Wakanda Country Club.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's just, that opportunity is just not available there very much anymore. Most caddies now are, you know, professional caddies at high-end country clubs and things like that. But what would you tell a young person today, as, you know, with all the experience that you've had in your life and playing in these championships and doing that, but yet, you know, somebody has a young person that just wants to play golf and learn the game, and maybe if they want to be competitive or not, what advice would you give them?
Well, I mean, I think, it's a battle of, it's a war of attrition. I mean, most of it is just sticking to it and just staying with it and, don't giving up, you know, just too quick. I mean, golf is not an easy game to learn, certainly not one easy to master. And so, I think it's become more athletic. I think it's still good for these guys to play other sports and, be as athletic as they can be. And then, of course, you know, I think the big difference today is, you know, it's such a power game that, you want to get those kids swinging at it, swinging hard at it, because that's where the game's at. And you don't get it out there, 300-plus yards, it's going to be tough to compete. So I would, encourage them to be athletic, play a lot of sports, and when, get a coach and just learn how to hit it hard. And then, the rest will kind of follow. But that's what I would tell I've got a grandson that I hope is going to start playing soon, and that's what I'm going to tell him.
You're listening on the Tee Florida, where I'm in conversation with Mike McCoy, the 2023 Walker Cup captain and incredibly successful amateur golfer for decades. And, you had a son, Nate McCoy. My son played against him in juniors quite often. And he had a lot of success. He went to Iowa State, played Horty and of course, Judd Gibb. And now, he gets on your bag. And then have been following him. He's been playing well. He was just out at the Mid-Ammo a few weeks ago, wasn't he?
That's right. Yeah, he got beat by Stuart Hagestad, who was on my team, went on to win the Mid-Am again. But, he played well. He played, really well. Stuart made 9 birdies in 17 holes. So he really ran into the wrong guy that day. But, no, Nate's played well. He's going to be the Iowa Player of the Year, I think, for the second time in a row. And
I saw that.
He's doing well. He's still very competitive and loves to play and loves to compete.
Well, that's got to be a joy for you. And then, as he said, a grandson that'll be playing. You guys are right there on Echo Valley. Do you go anywhere during the warm weather like Gino does to get down here?
Yeah, I get down to North Palm Beach some in the winter. We've got a little condo down there, and, we get away as much as we can.
Oh, no, what a beautiful spot of the world that is. Did you ever play the Palm Beach par 3 down there? You see a lot of publicity about that little par 3 golf course right there on the ocean. Have you ever gone to play that?
Yeah, it's a fun day down there. A lot of fun.
Hey, Mike, I want to tell you something. Mike Rickard, I want to tell you something about running carts. I've had the opportunity in my previous life to actually own and operate a private club, and I can tell you right now that just because you own the place doesn't mean that you don't run carts. You run carts more that when you own the place than you do when you work there as a cart kid.
Yeah, you do whatever's needed.
Unless you have an expert like me, I was, in Bill's opinion, I was probably one of the finest 60-year-old card jockeys to ever.
Oh, I have not seen one better.
You haven't seen another 60-year-old card jockey.
Well, beside the point, but
we got to talk a little high school football. How's Dowling doing this year?
You know, I think they're having a good year. I haven't been able to follow it quite as close because I've been a little busy. But I think they're, you know, one of the top five teams as usual. They're having another good season.
Well, and I'll tell you what, they also developed a very solid golf program when Nate was there and that group. And I think it was Coach Rob Gray? Is that the golf coach?
Yeah, Ron Gray. Yep. The old wrestling coach. Ron's a good person. And, I used to enjoy helping out with the team when Nate was playing. We had a lot of fun.
Well, I know that, and I got to meet him several times at Waveland, and even at Wakanda. Bill Rose was very, very instrumental in your learning the game and growing up, and then Fontanini, another name in Iowa lore as far as teaching youngsters how to play the game of golf.
Yeah, Sarge. Fine.
Hey, so Mike, question for you. You remind me a lot of Arnold Palmer, and I'll tell you why. Because you've got such a love for the game, and you've been such an integral part of the game of golf on the amateur level. And Mr. Palmer in his later years still had a passion for the game. Even when he was 80 years old, he'd still. I remember him hitting a driver off the deck at the Bay Hill Invitational in the Pro Am. I think it was his last Pro Am he ever played, and he still kept that passion for the game up to the day he died. What's the future hold for you? You've done so much. You're relatively still a young man. What would your would the future in golf hold for you?
Well, I'm going to keep playing. I'm going to keep playing. I hope to play, some senior golf, and I'm going to, watch my two sons play, and I'm going to hopefully do a little more social golf. I belong to a couple nice clubs, and a lot of times I can't play in the member guest or whatever, so I hope to do a little more of that in the future, and just enjoy things a little more. I don't have to prove anything, but I do. Having a tournament on the schedule keeps you sharp and forces you to get out there and hit some practice shots and work on your game a little bit. And so, I'll always keep a few tournaments on the schedule.
Well, you can't let
Gene. So Bill Butner, if you and Mike McCoy were head to head here, what would look like on the first tee? Who gives who shots? What do we got going here?
Oh my gosh, I'm begging for at least three aside. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm going to come up lame. I'm going to come up with some good injury.
He's a North Carolina Tar Heel. Hey, so anything that's coming out of his mouth, Mike, you got to be a little.
Mike was lucky enough to have a couple Tar Heels help him over there. So
I had three of them.
Come on.
Oh, you did have a couple Tar Heels over there in the Walker Cup.
Come on now.
Yeah.
You had three of. Oh, okay. I take back everything I've said there, Mike.
Mike, let me tell you this. This show has gone on, and he has had a shit-eating grin for an hour without any comments about Iowa corn. I mean, you've just been so happy.
That's because we have a gentleman and a professional on the other end.
Oh, is that what it is?
Exactly. Okay. See, you had three North Carolina kids on that team, huh, Mike?
Yeah.
We sure did.
Yeah,
Greaser and Ford. They were David Ford, Dylan Minetti, and Austin Greaser.
Yeah,
I'm looking right now.
I mean, come on now. Give me some love. I mean, we're top 10 in football. We have a golf team. Come on now.
He doesn't care about that. Hey, how's the University of Iowa's golf team these days? Pretty still solid?
I think they're improving. I think they've got they picked up a nice recruit, and I think they've I think they had a decent spring or a fall season. So hope the best for them.
Well, Mike, we thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I appreciate you taking time. I know you're busy out there in California. Where are you at in Cali?
Well, I'm in Los Angeles. We've got a little kind of a fun event going on at Los Angeles Country Club, so I'm having a little fun with the guys, and it's a beautiful day out here.
Well, enjoy yourself. Well deserved. You've been at it all year. And again, congratulations on your success with the Walker Cup. Now you're 60, and you're going to have to get after Gene and don't let him hog all of those trophies he's been pulling and have some fun.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on. Thanks so much. Sounds like you're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, we certainly are. All right. Well, you have a great time out there in L.A. Mike McCoy, okay, and the captain of the 2023 winning U.S. Walker Cup. And I'm a proud Iowan right now.
I hear you are smiling.
Wait till we get Zachy on. And we're going to talk Iowa football, baby. All right. We're going to take a break. Be back.
Thank you.
On the Tee, Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the Tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Tampa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and, of course, all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back as we wind things down on this nice, cool, crisp.
It's been beautiful.
Fall.
A little sweater weather. Just been great.
You do have it. I should have. But we're down here on the lower course, brought to you by Michelob Ultra here in the 19th hole. Down in 13th and Central, across from Tropicana Field in St. Pete, Florida. We've got some guys playing up on the upper simulator. And come on down any day. I don't care if it's the morning, noon, or night. Just give them a call, and I'll run down and get you situated if there's no one here to take care of you. And we got all kinds of specials going on right now. We got BOGO. Hey, let's do a little promo for your Eckerd College golf fundraiser for us. A very, very important.
Coming up, we have the 20th annual Matthew T. McDermott Golf Tournament. It's being held at the Bayou Club Monday, November 13th. Obviously, it's a long-standing running fundraising event for the men's golf, for the golf teams. It was started by the McDermott family for their dad, who got deceased during 9/11, and it was one of the only Eckerd kids involved, and he played golf. So this is a way of honoring him.
Well, bravo. And where's that at? St. Pete?
It's at Bayou Club.
Oh, it's at Bayou.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I was checking something out. All right. Now it's time for the John Rager Report, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka each and every week, Sea Dogs Brewery and Shipyard Beering, and, of course, Michelob Ultra, our beer partner.
Well, we got a couple things going. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you it's time for Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Crank. Extreme fishing fashion, what golfers wear when they're fishing. So I'm going to do the weather report from St. Augustine Beach right here. Right now it feels like 72 degrees out there. Humidity's in the 60s percent. Winds are northeast at 5 miles per hour. Zero rain chance, zero UV index, no cloud cover. And I normally say seas 2 to 3 feet with a light chop. It's just a trickle out there. This is really calm. I hope there's not like a tsunami out there or something like that coming in. But anyway, that's the Wild Bill's weather report, and it's brought to you by Yank and Crank. So I'm going to go right into the John Rager Report. Just to let everybody know that John Rager Report is on the T Florida. Not only will you find a weekly report about golf, travel, and lifestyle, you can now listen to archives on the T Florida, John Rager Report, and many others on the RadioSt.Pete.com app, plus the launch of FloridaSportsStreams.com, FloridaSportsStreams.com. And you can see the John Rager Report on YouTube and also on the Mike Depp Social. So follow the John Rager Report on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and Threads. And visit johnragergolf.com for the latest news and updates from the world of golf. So what I want to do is talk a little bit about LIV Golf. Now, there's a couple things. LIV Golf has a team championship coming up now, and they're out of Trump Doral in Miami. And this is their final event of the year. We're only 18 hours away from the tee-off, and you have all the teams play each other, and it's really a giant golf party, and it's a lot of fun. But, you know, it wouldn't be LIV Golf without controversy. And the controversy this week comes from Randall Chamblee. Now, we know him as the Golf Channel commentator, and he's been very anti-LIV Golf. He's been very political. He's an intellectual, I can tell you right. I respect Randall with his opinions. And, yeah, somebody was after Brandel this week talking about, you know, his inability to predict things. But, you know, Brandel said that Dustin Johnson was going into the Hall of Fame back in 2009, long before, obviously, he would. He said that Hideki Matsuyama would be the first Japanese player to win a major long before he was. Okay, I give him that. He said that Phil Mickelson would become the oldest major champion winner of all time long before he supplanted Julius Boros, which he did. He won the PGA Championship at Kiawah. And he said on Thursday night that Europe would win the Ryder Cup before the event started. So he says he's been wrong on a lot, but not everything. But he's been very vitriolic about the LIV Golf Tour and with the events going on in the world, with the war in Israel right now. Been very, very critical of the Arab world, this, that, and the other. But I did some research again. I wanted to bring everybody's attention that 27 PGA Tour sponsors do $40 billion of business in Saudi Arabia. And particularly FedEx and Coca-Cola, who are the major sponsors for the PGA Tour. So, so sometimes for our listeners out there, I think that sometimes we need to park the politics there because it ruins everything when you start putting politics into every sport out there. But it is controversial, but the LIV Golf is going to wrap up their season, and Phil Mickelson predicts that there's going to be a lot of LIV Golf signings for 2024. Only time will tell. Seems like the PGA Tour and the PIF fund from Saudi Arabia, it seems like they're not able to get their act together. I was very surprised back, I guess, in June when they announced that they were going to merge, and they didn't, and they haven't. And I'm not sure where that's going to lead. But with that, that's the John Rager Report. So just wanted to give you those little tidbits. So, Bill, give me your opinion now with what's going on in the world at LIV Golf and knowing that the PGA Tour is really embedded with Saudi Arabia when it comes to tour sponsors and stuff like that. But you had a lot of criticism about LIV Golfers. So what do you think?
Well, like you said, there's a lot of correlation between the way PGA Tour gets their sponsors. And the PGA Tour relies on a lot of international sponsorships. And yet they're there calling out the LIV Tour like they're the redheaded
demons.
The demons that are accepting this bad money. Well, PGA Tour is accepting the same money, so for merging, I don't know where that's coming from, because I don't know how you're going to mix apples and oranges together. Just such a different environment.
I pray to God they don't.
Well, it's just it's going to be a different scenario.
Well, I think it's taking the tradition out of golf, but I think it'll be a tough time under political circumstances and conditions to even start the conversation. I think they'd want to wait till some of this simmer down, and pray to God it does. Hey, but there's one thing that's LIV related that I want to touch upon too. And I'm sorry, I was starting to get on the Brooks Koepka bandwagon.
Thank you.
However, he did it again. Now, you know, he's a father now, and my good friend Mark Egli said he's really great interacting with the kids. But he comes across as a bully. Now, this Matthew Walker, I know he's got issues, but he just continued. I talked to Adam Woodward yesterday about this from Golf Week, so I'm not coming off just half-popped. But he said the same thing. He laughed. He said he's getting Matthew Walker's body bag ready, basically, for nobody to want him on their team.
Matthew Wolf. Remember, Matthew Wolf.
Yeah, and it's just it comes across as a bully. He's got the bully pulpit, and he has the opportunity to throw his teammate, who his brother played with him, under the bus. He said last week, they asked him how it was going this team play. He goes, well, there's only three of us out here. I mean, and then he said, well, you can't help someone that doesn't want help. Well, why does he have to take all this public? I mean, if the guy's got mental issues, and apparently he does, from a confidence standpoint, he's certainly not helping him.
Well, yeah, he's just trying to inspire, maybe. But
inspire
and
the public forum
by challenging him to step up to the plate.
I don't buy that.
Well,
I tell you what, Bill, I'm buying into that. And I'll tell you why, because. There's nothing like when somebody disses you to go out and you play harder and hard as you can and do as well as you can. But at the same time, you know what is present now that wasn't back in our day? This is social media, and the whole world sees everything. I've got a lot of stories about Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and Sam Snead and Ben. There's so many stories out there I'll take to my grave, because I can tell you right now, they didn't have social media back then. And there's so many things that were just underreported. And so today, it's under a microscope, and that's what fuels the media. It fuels some of these folks making money out there to report on these things and stirring it up and causing controversy. And, you know, and the thing with PGA Tour players, live golfers and everything, I wish there would be somebody out there that would actually school these people a little bit and help them with their public relations out there. Because, you know, look at Phil Mickelson. What a disaster that's been.
Oh, my God. He's got to quit opening his mouth.
Boy, that was one of the things that when we got through qualifying schools, they put us down with a seminar with how to handle the media. And obviously it was very short and very sweet. But, yeah, they need to be with all the things that you can get in trouble with these days. You've got to have a big kind of seminar.
John, did you see
I had the good fortune of, you know, serving as president of the North Florida section twice. And I can tell you that they did nothing when it came to public relations and being a spokesman. I learned how to be a public spokesman from Dow Chemical Company, because they would do seminars for golf course superintendents. And I would, you know, go to those seminars, and they did a great job on talking about how you handle public relations. It just seems like there's just not enough support out there to let these players who, you know, they play golf for a living, okay? You know, and they need to be schooled on this. They really do, because not only does it hurt them, it hurts the game of golf sometimes when stuff comes out that they don't understand, that, you know, the whole world listening to it, you could just accelerate something from nothing, make a mountain out of a molehill in an instant.
Did you happen to see the comments by Justin Thomas about Adam, what's his last name, Shipley?
I saw that. Adam just came out with a new book, and he's got some really interesting quotes in the book. You know, when people put books out there, they can put it out there, you know, and probably most of it's probably true. Some of it's made up. And the one thing you don't want to do, just don't want to go get into a pissing match with the media out there. Just don't do that. You don't have to do it.
And Justin started that now by responding to say, yeah, I want to speak for all the pros out there. I don't know if you saw that, Bill. I want to speak on behalf of all the pros. We would like him to just go away. Why does he have to keep creating? Well, and he said, I'm just relaying what's actually happening. But these guys don't want the world to know about it. Well, the reality, as John just alluded to, is you know, you're under the microscope now. You make millions of dollars. Deal with it. Figure out how to deal with it. Add somebody to your team to be your confidant and assist you in the process if you suck at it. And keep making your millions and keep your mouth quiet.
That's a good recommendation. But obviously they've not been schooled early in life, and they didn't know they were going to be millionaires that quickly.
Well, look at Tiger Woods, and look how Earl brought him up. He didn't expose himself with his own mouth. Some his actions are what got him in trouble, but he never opened the door for a lot of commentary.
I was going to say he won with his C game. He threw it in the face of a lot of tour players.
While we're talking about Tiger Woods real quick here, there's something coming up in January that's going to be spectacular. It's the TGL Golf League. So Tiger Woods and Roy McIlroy put this thing together, and it's going to be played in a 2,000-seat arena down in Palm Beach. And every Monday night, they've got this giant simulator. You can imagine the simulator at the first 19th hole clubhouse on the ice pick, you know, on the tee, Florida Golf Studios there. We've got a two nice simulators, right? Well, this simulator that they're going to be playing on a Monday night prime time on ESPN starting in January is it's like 10 times the size of our simulators, and they're going to play in an arena, and it's going to last 2 hours. And they've got Atlanta signed up, and LA, and New England, and they've got all these teams from around the country, and they've got 24 of the top. They've got 25% of the field were number one players in the world at one time. So that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to see. That could change the face of golf.
Well, we're going to have events down here with our simulators, as you talked about. We'll get that set up. There's some deep pockets that are involved in this thing, and a lot of those players are financially. So you know they're going to want to make it a success.
So what we need to do is when we do our Monday nights at Berg's with the TGL Golf League, so if Tiger hits a shot out there, we need to like simulate that. Bill Butler needs to get up there and see if he can one-up him there, hit it closer.
I like the theory. I like it in theory.
You can
we control the instrumentation on the simulators too. We can make a golf shot dial in a little closer than you think,
and a little longer for him.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, what do you got going? We got about 3 minutes. What's the rest of your week look? Well, not much left of the week. Mine's been flying. What's the rest of your week and your weekend look like up there on St. Augustine?
Well, we got a lot of work to do here on the T Florida. You know, we've got some major website updates we got to do, because one of the things that we've done is that we are coming up and we're going to take our show clips and put them on our website of some of the interesting conversations they had. And certainly Mike McCoy would have to be the first one that we put up there. What a great guy he is and what an interesting person he is. And so you'll see that coming up on thetfloridagolf.com. So we're going to go ahead. That's going to be my weekend to get that stuff loaded up there. Plus, yeah, and I haven't thrown this on Bill Butner, but yeah, we're going to have some video golf tips from Bill from the simulator at Berg's 19th hole ice pick on the T Florida Golf Studios.
I'll have to buy him some ice pick. I'll get you
Patty be here.
I'll get Patty here, and maybe she.
Yeah, well, in fact, Bill, you cannot do these videos without Patty. Okay, you're remarkable in her development as a golfer, and we need to continue that journey.
And a couple Champa Bays. All right, you real quick. What do you got going on? You go with the Eckerd team this weekend?
No, I've got. I was supposed to go to St. Augustine with the girls team, but I have all my former players are now getting married, so I'm going to Washington D.C. for one of my former players' weddings.
You know that's a great coach when they want you to come. All right, we got to wind things down. Thanks, guys. Great show. From the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse, I'm Mike Ricker for John Rager. Of course, Bill Butner, James Poulter, Jeremy Friedman, Mike McCoy. What a great conversation. Humble man. Joe Bedrone, Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Remember to keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.